This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Mary Jo Pullen, and this is City Beat. Trump and Senator J.D. Vance to speak at Cincinnati fundraiser as running mate rumors swirl. Former President Donald Trump will take a break from lashing out in court to campaign in Cincinnati this May with a little help from Senate Republican and Middletown native J.D. Vance. According to an invitation obtained by NBC News, Vance has been billed as the special guest for a May 15 lunch discussion fundraiser at an unknown location in Cincinnati. The $50,000 per ticket event will be headlined by Trump, who faces 34 felony counts of falsifying business records in hush money payments toward adult film star Stormy Daniels during his 2016 presidential campaign. While Trump's campaign against President Joe Biden has been on hold during his trial, rumors over who he will select as his running mate have started to narrow in on Vance. CNN reported in late March that sources said Trump appeared fixated on Vance as a possible candidate, though the Hillbilly Elegy author recently told Fox News Sunday that he's never spoken to Trump about being vice president. City Beat did not receive a response from Vance's team about the rumors by press time. Vance's views on Trump have evolved greatly since 2016, when he described himself as a never-Trump guy in an interview with Charlie Rose. "I never liked him," he told Rose at the time. Vance also once tweeted, "My God, what an idiot," in reference to Trump leading up to the 2016 race. Other since-deleted tweets from Vance refer to Trump as noxious and reprehensible. Vance went on to support Trump in the 2020 race against Biden and sought his endorsement in 2021 when Vance ran to fill the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Republican Rob Portman. "Like a lot of people, I criticized Trump back in 2016, Vance told Fox News that July, "and I ask folks not to judge me based on what I said in 2016, because I've been very open that I did say those critical things and I regret them, and I regret being wrong about the guy. I think he was a good president. I think he made a lot of good decisions for people, and I think he took a lot of flack." Moving past Vance's previous slams, Trump endorsed Vance's Senate bid, helping the first-time political candidate defeat Democratic opponent Tim Ryan with a 53.1% of the vote to Ryan's 46.9. Trump will be expected to make his VP pick before the Republican National Convention, which starts on July 15. This event, coming to Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky in 2025, sounds like a Tall Stacks revival, and we're freaking excited. Details of a big event celebrating Greater Cincinnati's river culture and heritage were announced at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center Wednesday, and Cincinnatians who were around in the era of Tall Stacks may find them particularly exciting. America's River Roots will be a celebration of inland river culture to kick off the U.S.'s 250th birthday, bringing hundreds of thousands of visitors to the banks of the Ohio River in Cincinnati, Newport, and Covington from October 9 through 12, 2025. The Ohio River has played a vital role, not just in Cincinnati's history, but the history of the U.S., from providing energy and industry to being a beacon of hope to those seeking freedom. And River Roots aims to showcase the multicultural art, history, music, and cuisine that has come from the river connecting people to the region. America's River Roots will focus attention on the Ohio River Valley region and its impact on the nation's growth and shaping of our diverse cultures, event co-chair Rick Grew said in a press release. The event will deepen this awareness with roots music, river cuisine, and cultural experiences along our world-class riverfront. Area residents will connect with our common roots, and visitors will discover the heritage of America's inland river culture. At the announcement Wednesday, Cincinnati Mayor Aftab Puraval said the city is an ideal location to celebrate America's river roots. We have a world-class riverfront park system, second to none, designed for world-class national events. And with roots music on both sides of our river, riverboats going in and out, and great multicultural food throughout the venues, this could be something that everyone can enjoy and take pride in, said Puraval. River Roots has the potential to bring so many new eyes and dollars to our region's beauty, our river heritage, and the common roots that have made us so strong for so many generations. When we talk about river roots, I think the word roots is so important because there are roots. We're not just coming up with this because we have a great birthday to celebrate, but because we had a long-standing history here in bringing people together and celebrating on the Ohio River, said Hamilton County Commission President Alicia Reese. While more details will be announced in the future, organizers offered a preview of what will be hitting the Ohio riverbanks in 2025. Music. Cincinnati native and Grammy Award winner Bryce Dessner of The National will curate nationally known artists in all of the roots genres of music. These performers will be featured on multiple stages throughout the riverfront, and The National will perform a special tribute to roots music at the event. Kathy Wade, a local jazz musician, regional Emmy Award winner jazz performer, and co-founder of Learning Through, is producing Sounds of the River, an interactive educational program that will trace the historical flow, cultural sounds, and stories from along the Ohio River, from the first drum beat in Africa to spirituals, gospel, blues, and more. Finally, a River Roots Gospel Revival, as well as educational programs, will spotlight the Freedom Journey and the Freedom Center. It will also help educate audiences about Ohio's musical legacy, including King Records. Food and drink. Cincinnati's Paul Sturkey, the product and development management chef at Kroger, will lead the charge on food at River Roots. Organizers say he's inviting celebrity chefs to craft cuisine of America's river regions and recruiting small businesses, food trucks, restaurants, and caterers to offer a variety of eats as well. On the beverage side, Amy Tobin and company will be recruiting emerging distillers for bourbon tastings. Ohio Brewmaster tastings and Cincinnati's historic brewing tours in Over the Rhine will also be featured. And on the Purple People Bridge will be the Good and Rooted Local Market, featuring food and cultural artisans selling regionally made products. Riverboats. And this is what Tall Stacks fans have been waiting for. For those who don't remember or weren't around for Tall Stacks, this was a special event held every 3 to 4 years in Cincinnati from 1988 to 2006 that celebrated the city's riverboat history. It featured numerous riverboats that offered tours and cruises and even raced each other. There was also plenty of food and live music. And River Roots appears to be somewhat a revival of that special event, especially as Tall Stacks was also launched to celebrate a big birthday, Cincinnati's 200th, in fact. River Roots will bring in 12 riverboats to the region from their other inland river cities, with B&B Riverboats Captain Alan Bernstein coordinating the logistics and working on the theme for the riverboats to showcase the food and music of our region. There will also be a River Cities Expo Pavilion showing off cultural tourism attractions. River Roots has also been endorsed as an official event of the Ohio Commission for the U.S. Semi-Quincentennial or America 250 Ohio. Organizers are working with the U.S. America 250 Commission to secure designation as a national signature event. America's River Roots will be held October 9 through 12, 2025. For more information and to stay updated on the details, visit americasriverroots.com. Amazon Web Services to build $11 billion Indiana data center campus. An Amazon subsidiary focused on web services plans to invest $11 billion into the construction of a data center campus in north central Indiana, Governor Eric Holcomb announced Thursday. He said Amazon Web Services, or AWS, plans are the largest capital investment announcement in the state's history. The project is expected to create at least 1,000 new jobs. Indiana's long-term economic strategy is paying dividends for Hoosiers as we cultivate the growth of critical sectors like technology infrastructure, Holcomb said in a news release. Amazon has long been an important economic partner in Indiana, and we are excited to welcome AWS. This significant investment solidifies Indiana's leadership position in the economy of the future and will undoubtedly have a positive ripple effect on the town of New Carlisle, the North Central region, and the state of Indiana for years to come, he added. The release highlighted Indiana's business-friendly environment, infrastructure, skilled labor pool, and technology sectors for the choice. This investment will include our continuing commitment to fostering workforce development and educational initiatives in areas where we operate, and we look forward to helping nurture the next generation of talent in the Hoosier State, said Roger Wehner, AWS's Director of Economic Development. We are excited to partner with Governor Holcomb, IEDC, and other state and local leaders to forge a path toward a brighter future for Indiana's tech landscape. The data centers will include computer servers, data storage drives, networking equipment, and other cloud computing-related technology infrastructure and generative artificial intelligence technologies. AWS also plans to put up to $7 million toward road infrastructure improvements along State Road 2 near the planned development. In exchange for AWS's pricey planned investments, the Indiana Economic Development Corp offered the company up to $100 million in performance-based tax credits and grants. Up to $55 million in Hoosier Business Investment Tax Credits, up to $20 million in Redevelopment Tax Credits, up to $18.3 million in Headcount-Based Tax Credits, up to $5 million in Training Grants. AWS must follow through on its investment plans to claim the incentives, according to the release. That incentive total doesn't include 50 years worth of data center sales tax exemptions on eligible capital investments. Amazon, on its blog, said it would also be dedicating $100,000 to a community grant program meant to aid economic development, education, the environment, diversity and equity, health and homelessness, and workforce development. The AWS announcement today will be a generational boost to our local and regional economy, and we are excited for the opportunity to welcome the AWS team and workforce into our community, said Carl Baxmeyer, president of the St. Joseph County Board of Commissioners. This new data center campus will be built in the Indiana Enterprise Center over the next decade, and will be a major employment center for all of northern Indiana. This project announcement also shows our alignment with the state's goal to create next-level jobs that benefit all Hoosiers. Amazon said it's invested $21.5 billion into Indiana since 2010, creating 26,000 part-time and full-time jobs. The momentum we've seen in recent months with several global technology and innovation-fueled enterprises choosing Indiana to locate operations and invest is setting the stage for Indiana's next chapter, said Indiana Technology and Innovation Association Executive Director Jennifer Hallowell. To embrace this opportunity, we must continue to prioritize innovation and entrepreneurship at all levels and ensure we're creating the strongest ecosystem to attract world-class companies and help our own Hoosier entrepreneurs succeed. We're excited to welcome AWS to Indiana and work together to propel Indiana forward. This story was originally published by the Indiana Capital Chronicle and republished here with permission. Ohio bill would limit the ability of employers to punish employees for not taking vaccines. A proposed Ohio House bill would restrict the ability of an employer to punish employees for not taking vaccines or other medical treatments. The sponsors of the bill laid out their case during the bill's first hearing earlier this month. Ohio House Bill 319, also known as the Conscientious Right to Refuse Act, was introduced by State Representatives Jennifer Gross, Republican from Westchester, and Scott Wiggum, Republican from Wayne County, on November 8 last year. According to the bill, a business employer, including an administrator or supervisor, health plan insurer, healthcare provider, hospital, institution, nursing home, person, political subdivision, private college, public official, residential care facility, state agency, or state institution of higher education cannot deny or terminate employment, deny service, or otherwise treat differently an individual based on an individual's refusal of any biologic, vaccine, pharmaceutical, drug, gene editing technology, RNA-based product, or DNA-based product for reasons of conscience, including religious convictions. If someone believes their rights have been infringed, they can petition a court of competent jurisdiction for injunctive relief or a declaratory judgment, or bring a private civil action for money damages in a court of competent jurisdiction against the entity. Speaking at the bill's first hearing on April 9, Gross said, "With the founding of this great nation, two principles at the root of our Constitution include protecting the liberties of the individual and protecting our freedom of religion." Chastising unnamed government leaders who, she said, have lost sight of what that means and have allowed the rights of corporations and businesses to supersede those of the individual and their right of conscience and religion, Gross added, "Until now, we as a legislative body have failed to protect citizens as their freedoms were being held in contempt at the height of the vaccine mandates." Gross recommended her colleagues support HB 319, because it ensures Ohio citizens have the freedom to refuse vaccines or pharmaceuticals without discriminatory action. Wiggum also spoke on April 9, noting that no portion of the act shall prevent the recommendation of, the education on, or access to any of the medical interventions described in this act, and that the law does not apply to children, because K through 12 law in Ohio already allows conscientious, religious, and medical exemptions. Besides Gross and Wiggum, HB 319 is supported by Ohio Advocates for Medical Freedom, or OAMF. Founded in 2015, OAMF is the foremost anti-vaccine organization in Ohio. HB 319 is listed as one of OAMF's current initiatives on their website, with the group asking their supporters to please contact the House Health Provider Services Committee Chair, Representative Al Cutrona, and let him know why HB 319 is important to you. On April 9, after the bill's first hearing, OAMF posted on Twitter, "Thank you, Representative Jennifer Gross and Representative Scott Wiggum, for giving amazing introductory testimony today for HB 319. Speaking on the Bruce Hooley Show on November 10, OAMF President Stephanie Stock discussed HB 319 support in the Ohio House and praised House Speaker Jason Stevens, saying, "He's been great for us. He's actually the most pro-medical freedom speaker we've ever had. So all of our bills have been progressing well." Gross introduced the Vaccine Choice and Anti-Discrimination Act in 2021, for which Stock offered proponent testimony, writing, "Ohio Advocates for Medical Freedom strongly encourages you to vote in favor of Ohio House Bill 248 to codify Ohioans' right to maintain sole discretion in their health care decisions and reaffirm Ohioans' right to health care privacy." In turn, Gross endorsed Stock when she ran for the Republican State Central Committee, saying, "Stephanie Stock has the leadership, strength, and determination needed for the State Central Committee." Wiggum appeared alongside Stock on Always Right Radio with Bob France in an interview from December 1 last year. In it, Wiggum critiqued the effectiveness of masks from preventing illness, claiming, "The mask movement was more of a public policy to disrupt society. We knew at the time that they didn't really work against viruses." The American Academy of Pediatrics wrote in an article published on June 30, 2022, "Face masks can be safely worn by all children 2 years of age and older, including the vast majority of children with underlying health conditions, with rare exception. In addition to protecting the child, the use of face masks significantly reduces the spread of SARS-CoV-2 and other respiratory infections within schools and other community settings." In 2017, OAMF distributed cards with anti-vax messages along with candy to trick-or-treating children. During the 2018-2019 measles outbreak, Stock opposed restricting vaccine exemptions, saying, "The biggest percentage complication with measles is diarrhea. I mean, you're looking at a relatively mild childhood illness that results in a rash and fever for about a week, and then the child has lifelong immunity." In 2021, OAMF was deplatformed by Facebook for sharing inaccurate information about vaccines. An analysis of 250,000 patients published in January of this year by researchers for the University of Pennsylvania and Children's Hospital of Philadelphia shows children and adolescents who received one of the main COVID-19 vaccines were significantly protected from the illness and showed no increased signs of cardiac complications compared to young people who were not vaccinated. This story was originally published by the Ohio Capital Journal and republished here with permission. The Lytle Park Hotel is launching a new wine festival. Downtown Cincinnati's The Lytle Park Hotel is launching a new wine festival this May. The inaugural Lytle Park Wine Festival will be crafted and hosted by the hotel on Saturday, May 18. The Lytle Park Hotel is also partnering with Chef Daniel Bruce, the founder of the Boston Wine Festival, on this event. The hotel says the mission of the festival is to unite wine enthusiasts of all backgrounds while celebrating some of the world's best vintners. Nestled amidst the serene ambiance of Lytle Park, overlooking the scenic Ohio River, this festival offers a unique opportunity to engage directly with distinguished wineries and their passionate creators, the Lytle Park Hotel said in a press release. The festival will include the Grand Tasting from 5 to 8 p.m., which includes food prepared by Lytle Park Hotel executive chef Joe Helm, a commemorative wine glass, and live music from the Mandy Gaines Band. Tickets are $145. Attendees can also reserve a private tasting from 4 to 5 p.m. for $75 per person with a participating winery. The private tastings will feature the winery's private library collection. Those tastings are limited in availability, with 6 tickets available per winery. Participating wineries include Cane Vineyard and Winery, DeLille Cellars, Elk Cove Vineyards, Far Niente Wine Estates, Francois Villard, Domaine du Rouge, Page Wine Cellars, Robert Foley Vineyards, S.A. Prume, Silver Oak, Saint-Supery Estate Vineyards. You can buy tickets for both the grand tasting and private tastings and learn more about the wine selection at eventbrite.com. Lytle Park Hotel is located at 311 Pike Street, downtown. For more information, visit thelytleparkhotel.com. Celebrate Cinco de Mayo with a bar crawl at the Banks. Cinco de Mayo is bringing a Sunday full of festivity and good food and drinks to the Banks in downtown Cincinnati this weekend. To mark the holiday, a celebration of the Mexican Army's defeat of France at the Battle of Puebla during the Franco-Mexican War in 1862, 6 bars at the Banks will be taking part in a special bar crawl. The Cinco de Mayo Bar Crawl is happening on Sunday, May 5, from 4 to 9 p.m., following the Flying Pig Marathon. Participating bars will offer food and drink specials, and attendees can catch a live performance on the plaza from La Formula Mariachi Band from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Guests will also be able to take advantage of the Dora and enjoy beverages both indoors and outdoors. Participating bars include Fishbowl at the Banks, 141 East Freedom Way, The Holy Grail, 161 Joe Nuxall Way, Jefferson Social, 101 East Freedom Way, Killer Queen, 180 East Freedom Way, and Tin Roof, 160 East Freedom Way. The Stretch, 191 East Freedom Way, will also be participating with its special running from noon to midnight Sunday. Pacifico beer will be $5, and margaritas, take your pick of strawberry, grapefruit, wildberry, mango, or pineapple, will be $8. Participants can pick up a free Cinco de Mayo passport at any of the participating locations. If you get your passport stamped at all 6 spots, you'll be entered for the chance to win $350 in gift cards. Learn more about the bar crawl at thebankscincy.com. Well, that's all we have time for today. I'll be back next time with more City Beat. I'm Mary Jo Pullen. Have a terrific day.